Hey guys, it's your girl Latonya Moore with Real Perspectives. I am here with Ms. Fonda Clayton. She is the thought leader behind the Personal Power for the 21st Century Woman. And Fonda's main point is that we have to look at how we as women are operating in society and the effects that it has on our health and well-being. Fonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Latonya. It's great to be here.
Great. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Oh, boy. I will try to keep it succinct. I am a woman who believes strongly in not only the idea of woman, but the power that woman possesses. And I came to this realization because for about 16 years I was a massage therapist. And I've touched thousands and thousands of bodies, and they say different things than what we say out of our mouths. And I find that women carry a lot of, we have a lot of responsibility, but we have a lot of sadness. And when we are walking around with the sadness, it affects every aspect of our lives. But my mission is to show women and to teach women that they have everything inside of them that they need in order to have a successful, beautiful, fulfilled life.
I love it. I love it. So you've mentioned about the idea and power of woman. Talk with us a little bit about what that is.
We are actual creators. We create life. The womb, this what I call the creative bowl, is the place where we will gestate either an actual life or an idea. And when we don't allow ourselves to be creative, it has a way of imploding inside of us and creates this kind of like this pool of just sadness. Is the only way that I can really articulate it for the listeners to really understand. You know, like sometimes when you just want to burst out into tears, you know, this is where it happens. But when she is able to understand and be with her emotions and not try to push them down, she can do anything. I mean, absolutely anything. But society shows us and tells us since we're little girls that there's nothing that we can do without a man. And I'm not saying that men are bad. I think men are absolutely yummy. But a woman by herself is a powerful being, and she needs no one in order to express that.
Absolutely. I love the fact that even with that, you say that, you know, it's not that men are unimportant, but you're right. Women, I think, in society are taught to believe that their mere existence is in some type of way, they're
taking care of someone else.
Right, outside of, you know, kind of being just a function to be used by others. And I read a very interesting article, and it was about how women are seen as relational. So, like, for example, when a woman is introduced, they're first introduced by whatever their relation is. So this is my friend, Fonda. This is my sister, mm-hmm. Fonda. This is my cousin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always that qualifier that determines or solidifies or validates what we are before who we are. Have you noticed that's actually a reality?
Oh, you hit it so square on. Yeah, absolutely. When I married my husband, I decided to keep my maiden name, and so I made my so I'm Fonda Clayton Smith, but professionally I'm just Fonda Clayton. And I did that for a reason, because I need my own identity. I don't want to just be Mrs. Smith. I'm Mrs. Smith, and I am Fonda Clayton. And this is 10 years into my marriage, and people are still waiting for me to drop the Clayton, and I will never do that because, you know what I mean? Why would I do that? I mean, my daddy is an awesome man, and I stand underneath his cover, and I appreciate that, and I love that. And I love being married to this man, and I can have both. I don't have to choose. And,
I love
teaching women to do that. Yeah, you know? Why do we always have to choose? I mean, a man can do this and he can do that. Like, if you mean to tell me I got to go change my Social Security number, and all this costs money, and I got to stand in line, and I got to wait, and all this other stuff, and he's just sitting down reading a newspaper? No, ma'am. We will not have that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So talk with us a little bit about what's your perspective or life experience that influenced you to just say, you know what, my purpose is really to impart upon women to just take or tap into their personal power.
It started when I was a massage therapist. I realized that while I was giving massage, I was also life coaching. And so then I said, okay, I've got to go and get some extra schooling so I can support these women in these dramas and traumas that would come up on the table. I mean, I would have women weeping. So I went to life coaching school, and I said, you know, this is my passion. This is the thing that just burns inside of me, and I will talk about for the rest of my days. But if I were to be completely honest, it goes back further than that, because my mom, who passed away when she was 50 years old, died with all these dreams inside of her. You know, she was afraid to really live and ask life for what she wanted, and then she was terrified to die. So, you know, when you think about, you know, what is Maya Angelou said that, you know, when you're 50, you become the woman that you were always meant to be. Well, she was only 6 weeks into her journey before she had her last breath, and I was like, wow, you know, what if I can impact these women that come to me and they're asking me these questions about their lives that some didn't even ask their gynecologists about. They would come to ask me, and I was like, dude, like, I don't know, but, like, I'll find out, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. Give me a minute. You know, can I call you back? But they trusted me enough to do that. So I was like, okay, there's something here. Let me dig a little bit deeper. So I've had this fire burning inside of me just to, you know, just tell women, listen, you've got the goods. You got this.
I love it. I love it because, again, as women, we are nurturers by nature, and lots of times we are a lot more, I don't want to say judgmental, but that's the word that comes to mind with regard to each other. Like, we're a lot quicker to say, well, you know, just suck it up, especially when we're looking at a situation, because we do believe that we're supposed to just be able to do all this stuff. And we don't take time to really just take care of ourselves.
Right.
I remember a situation where I had an intern, and I had a law school intern, and they were sharing with me about a friend of theirs who was suffering from domestic violence for a semester, and so this girl's grades just fell all the way down. And so he started to tell me, well, you know, I think she's going to be okay because I think, let's say it was a panel of 9, and I think 7 were women. And I said to him, I said, that's a bad thing that she did. She should have chosen all men. And he was like, what? I said, oh, yeah, she should have chosen all men. And he said, why do you say that? I said, because psychologically, women are going to say, why didn't you just leave? Why didn't you seek help? Why didn't you do this? But they're not going to see her as a victim. They're just not going to do that. And I said, women are weird when it comes to this. And he said, you think so? I said, absolutely, but let me know how it turns out. Lo and behold, she got kicked out. And
wow.
it was the very thing In her decision, because they gave her a written decision, everything that I said that they were going to say was written out in that decision. And I told him, I said, this is, you have to be very careful when you have those situations. And you guys want to be attorneys? That's why attorneys pay a lot of money on jury research and jury selection, because you have to know the psychology of the people that you're dealing with. And I say that to say I've seen that in a lot of other things that are happening with women. There's still a debate about a work-at-home mom versus a working mom, and there's this shame attached on both sides. Talk with me a little bit about just some of the trends, either continuing trends or growing trends that you're seeing in your line of work, and how are you encouraging your clients to deal with and overcome some of these obstacles?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, what you imparted to the gentleman about picking the jury is so insidious, and it's really kind of sad. You know, I talk about this in my book, Stop Giving Your Power Away, where there's a section in the book where I'm talking about how a woman is kind of vilified and picked apart based on what she does with her sexual parts. And usually men will get bored after a while of the teasing and the name-calling, but women, they will keep going, and they get really, really nasty with it, like really hurtful is what I mean to say. And it's this vicious cycle, and it really makes me want to cry that we there's no soft place to land with each other. And so what I teach my clients to do is, when you want to do a new thing, a different thing that's separate from the status quo, the first thing that you do not do is you don't tell your closest friends. You seek outside support, whether it be a therapist, a coach, someone that's going to be impartial to this new news, because there's a pecking order, right? And if you are not alpha female, she's going to make you feel less than. And then if you're alpha female, there's no place for you to go because you're supposed to know already. So it's crazy, isn't it? So I tell her, listen, go seek outside support. You know, tell me that the down low, you know, because I can't tell anybody, because this is our client coach agreement. You know, you got to be ethical and moral, right? And then go research the person that you want to be like, the qualities that you want. Go read some autobiographies, journal, and act like those qualities that you want to be and do and have. But definitely the first thing you don't do is tell your girlfriends, because there's a part in the book where I'm talking about, the book is basically about a woman, excuse me, a woman and how she is vilified by society if she doesn't use her parts in the way that society thinks that she should. So in other words, it's procreation first and foremost, and your body is a disease place waiting to happen. Because when you go to the gynecologist, they're screening you for cancer. They're not screening you for health. So it's really kind of crazy, right? Because you go and get a mammogram. They're not screening you for health. They're screening you for disease. And these things just are a vicious cycle. So there's a part in the book where I'm talking about one of my best friends, closest, longest friend, criticized me because of my number of sexual partners. And so I was crushed, and because she used that information against me. But then years later, she's the very one, first in line, asking me for sexual advice, because she knew that it would at least have an idea, because she didn't know.
Right. It's crazy. And you know, again, that goes back to this culture of shame, and one thing, and a lot of people, this isn't what I'm about to say. It's probably not a popular view, but one thing that I admire so much about millennial women is that they are willing to say, you know what, I really don't care, and I seriously don't care what you think, and be assertive about it. And I love that generation so much because for me, I think I do care, you know, and but
we're trained to care.
Right. And I'm so glad that we are raising a generation of women to say, I don't care what you think. I just say that we have to be cautious, though, and make sure that we also train and educate them on being responsible and still understanding the cultural norms. So that they know,
Absolutely.
Okay, this may not be a situation that I need to be in. But I love that. I love the fact that, again, we can look, and, you know, it's funny, I say I look up to them, even though, you know, they're certainly younger than me. But I want to get back to what you were saying, though, about this concept of shame. And then at the end of the day, now these same people have to come back to the person that they've, in essence, shamed because now they need advice. For whatever reason, talk with us about how you handle that internally.
I had you know, like I think that we all come with agreements. There's this book that I love by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's called The Four Agreements. And we all come in with these agreements. And one of my agreements at that time was that your oldest, closest friend was the person that you were supposed to tell your deepest, darkest to. And even as I was telling her, I had this knowing, this feeling that she wasn't the person that I was supposed to tell. But I didn't feel like I had anybody else to share it with. So when the backlash came, and it came pretty quickly, I really didn't have any time to recover. There's this, you know, you make this agreement with yourself, you know, I'm never doing that again. I'm never revealing. I'm never going to be that vulnerable again. And making that agreement with myself was very hurtful to my very nature because to be a woman to me is to be vulnerable. That's our magic. That's one of the places of our magic. And so it really hurt me internally. And I didn't really express with her. But the same agreement that said that I needed to be friends with the person that I was friends the longest with and continue it, when she came back to me and asked for this advice, now, first of all, would I be friends with a person like that in my life now? No, but I didn't know that I had other choices. But anyway, so when she came back to me for this advice, I chuckled and I brought it up to her, making her recall the way she made me feel then. And she really didn't take ownership. She didn't take responsibility for that. But I had an internal victory. It was like, ha-ha. and it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet.
Well, and the reason that I asked that question is, again, it's a very mature way to deal with the situation because we know as women, when people hurt us, oh, we know how to get them back. So I wanted to see sort of what happened internally because a lot of times now we are ready, we are on that warpath. But I want to bring something out to our listeners that you mentioned. You mentioned the book. Tell us a little bit about the book. What's the name of the book? The concept of the book? Because I want our viewers, our listeners, to get an opportunity to. We'll talk more about where to get it, but tell us a little bit about your book.
It's the name of the book is Stop Giving Your Power Away. It is currently an ebook on Amazon. And it is a compilation of the years of working corporate and massage therapy and a little bit of life coaching. So my life work, I always want to know how a woman is doing, how a person is really feeling, and are they happy, and do they know how to get to happy? And that was kind of, you know, what originated. And the book is about, there's a section in the book that's really, I really go there, Sonia. I really go there, and I'm saying, you know, if a woman doesn't use her vagina, she's an old maid. But if she uses it too much, she's a hoe. And if she's assertive, she's a bitch. You know. And I really go there. And it's just like all this name calling, all this, like, she's vilified, and she's shunned, and you know, like she's got the scarlet letter, you know, whatever one society chooses to put on her. And I am really arguing the case. This is bullshit. This is really like, she doesn't own her body. Like right now, you've got men deciding whether or not she should have permission to pay for her own birth control and what to do with it. But there are men that are in the seat, so we don't really have freedom unless we decide differently, even for ourselves. You know, that's what a personal revolution is all about. It's like, This is good. This is not good. Why is this good for me? And then being able to decide what her values are, et cetera. And the conversations that she will let in, because I'm a New York City kid, right? And there are many, many people coming at you, right? Because you're right on the street with them. People can call you names, but how do you internalize that, or do you just kind of like, do you have like a force field? Like, what's your superpower? Like, are you able to field it off? And so that's when I leave the reader with the opportunity of deciding for herself what is true.
Awesome. What type of feedback have you received about the book and really just about your overall brand?
The brand, people have told me that, man, like this is a big topic, but I'm glad that you're talking about it. There's this sense of relief. The book itself, I had this one guy write to me and say that he was giving this book to his 14-year-old daughter. I was so amazed by it. Mainly because he read it, which was my goal. I wanted men to read it so that they can be responsible as they raise their sons about how they treat women. But if they have girl children, how to be with them so that we don't have another generation of women like us. Now I was raised really great. I'm not saying that, but I'm being like less shackles. Less invisible shackles. You know, I want them to not exist. So I was really blown away by that. So people are really digesting it, and they're really taking their time to kind of like send little messages. They don't necessarily come out like oh yes, you know, what you said about the JJs was great. You know, they don't. No, that doesn't happen. But the little text messages and the PMs and stuff like that. So it's good.
What are some other things? We've mentioned so many things. This is so fascinating. But what are some other things that you're working on that you're really, really excited about?
Well, I just started a national tour with the Titan. We're called the Titaness Tour. And there in my little talk, and it's little because it's 10 minutes, I'm talking about contemplating suicide after a failed relationship, of feeling that lost and having that much despair, and coming on the other side of it, because I had to go kind of like go into the bowels of hell, as it were, to realize that I am the it that I'm looking for, instead of looking outside of myself, and how you can triumph. I'm really excited about my podcast called The Juicy Life Show, where I'm talking about personal power and body image and, you know, self-care. What else am I excited about? I just finished this interview. I turned it into a video because I just thought that it was so juicy and so meaty. It's called Your Body, Society Isn't Your Blueprint. You can kind of tell that there's a theme here. There's a sticky point with me and society. I've got it into society.
Use your body for what you want, ladies.
Dang it. You know, it's yours. You know, use it or not, but it's nobody's business. I'm really about, I love spirituality, but I really want women to live fully in their bodies. I don't feel like women are living inside their bodies. They take care of their bodies. They have tolerance for their bodies and what they do on a monthly basis, but there's no connection, no love, no knowing. And I want to change that. Yeah.
I love it. So how can our listeners find out more about you, follow what you're doing and your project, order your book? So how can they just make sure that they are going to be supporting all the things that Fonda Clayton is doing?
Thank you. So first and foremost, the best place to start is going to be on my website. They can get my mini course. I love this thing. It's called, so you go to FondaClayton.com/your body. That's FondaClayton/your-body. And there they can just start on a little bit of a journey and hopefully get a giggle and some resonance about making different decisions for their lives and their bodies. And I'm also, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/FondaClayton. And I have all my events because I'm doing an 8-city tour around the country this year.
Awesome. Well, Fonda, thank you so much for being on Real Perspectives. I'm absolutely delighted to also, I have to tell our Real Perspectives listeners that Ms. Clayton is one of our She Matters ambassadors, so you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot more with regard to what she's doing also as part of that movement, in addition to your body, your business as well. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners, I'm LaTanya Moore. This is Real Perspectives, where we seek real people with real issues and real solutions from real perspectives.